Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the desert, and he proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All the Judean countryside, the people of Jerusalem, went out in great numbers to be baptized by him. And they were baptized in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and his food was grasshoppers and wild honey. And the theme of his preaching was, "One more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not fit to stoop and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you in water. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire." The Gospel of the Lord. One time I was in a parish, and I was actually going to preach on 2 Timothy, this whole thing about stirring into flame the gift of God. And I was in my room, and I'm writing the homily and trying to create something good that will fire people up, and I'm talking about the flame and the fire and, you know, smoke and blaze and heat and energy and fire. And all of a sudden, this is a true story, the smoke alarm went off in my room. And I went, yes, this is going to work. I'm ready for this. And that's a true story. I don't know why that thing went off. I was just sitting there, and I thought it was a sign from God that I had the right message. And I remember, you know, in Massachusetts, where I grew up, we had some cold, cold winters. And the snow would fly, you know, much colder than what we have here in Oregon today. And the snow would fly, and it would get really freezing cold. And my dad had one of these big wood-burning stoves right in the living room. And that thing would heat up the whole living room and in parts most of the house, except for upstairs. What would happen is, you know, they'd get the logs going in the morning, and then, you know, we'd all kind of go off to school and different things, and oftentimes I would be the first one to come home. When I'd come home, I'd open up the door, and you could see the embers there, but there wasn't much of a flame going on. So what I would do is I'd put more logs on the fire, and I'd put some paper in there, and right next to the stove, we had these bellows. You know, you know what bellows are? So I'd get the bellows, and of course, I, you know, start blowing in the oxygen, and I mean, that flicker went into a flame very quickly, because fire feeds on oxygen, and it needs that. And that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy in tonight's reading. He said that you have the flame in you, you have the flicker, you have the anointing, you've been given the Spirit. And he said, stir it up, fan it into flame, so that it can become a blaze, so that it can become all that you are, so that it can become passion. And that's kind of what my role is for you tonight, you who are here, you who are listening by CD. I'm so glad that you are. I'm here to really, I've got like Holy Ghost bellows here. You know, we're going to blow some oxygen on you, and get whatever that is in you to be stirred up so that it can be a blaze and a fire, and there's heat and power and energy, all the words that you ever want to use. And one thing that I teach people all the time about the Holy Spirit, and I've taught so much about the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God has revolutionized my life, just totally changed me as a young man when I was 19. One thing that I teach that God taught me early on is that I already had the Spirit. And it wasn't just given to me at confirmation, and the Spirit wasn't given to me at baptism. I hope this doesn't sound heretical to you. The Spirit was given to me when I was conceived in my mother's womb. And you too. Every person on the face of the earth has the Holy Spirit. Many people just don't know it. And what baptism and confirmation are all about, it's that stirring up of the anointing. Hopefully you'll make a good decision for Christ. And if you're an infant at confirmation, hopefully you'll make a decision for Christ, where that blessing that God gave you, the gift of his life, his divinity, will be stirred up in you. So as you come here tonight, the first thing I want you to know is that the Spirit of God, the anointing, abides. That's what the scriptures tell us, and that's been my experience. You have the Spirit. Timothy had the Spirit. And what happened was, Paul was saying, Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Apparently, Timothy was ashamed of his witness. That's what it said. Don't be ashamed of your witness for Jesus Christ in the gospel. Apparently, Timothy had gotten into some fear, maybe some rejection. Maybe he had some hard preaching times, and he was about to give up. It was hard being a missionary back then. And so Paul says, look, Timothy, stir it up. Fan into flame that fire that was given to you when we laid hands on you. You've got the anointing. Don't let it die out. Get that oxygen flowing. So I'm going to try to help you do that tonight. But then long after the mission and long after you listen to these CDs, what you got to do is you got to be reading the scriptures. You got to be praying. You got to be going to confession, going to Mass, reading good spiritual books. That's how you fan the flames. You got to be believing that the Holy Spirit is there, trusting, praying, and saying, Lord, I want to receive you more fully. Paul the Apostle, that's what we're celebrating, he talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And he said to the Ephesians, he said, don't be drunk with wine. That's debauchery. He said, be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find out that they weren't just filled one time on Pentecost. There were many other times. They'd be having a prayer meeting. All of a sudden, the room would start shaking, you know, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And one time, Paul was just talking to a bunch, he was preaching the gospel to a bunch, I believe it was Gentiles, not quite sure. He was preaching the gospel, and it said that as they were listening, the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's the word that was used in the scripture. So I'm praying that, you know, just as you're listening here tonight, you'll receive that anointing in a deeper way. And perhaps fall is the wrong word. I like to use the word well up within. That's what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. He said, when you believe in me, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So there's many similes or many metaphors for who the Spirit is. You know, water, fire, wind, light, breath. But they're all images to try to help us to get a grasp on who the Spirit is. But I want you to concentrate tonight on that one image of fire, because we're familiar with fire and the power of fire and what fire can do. As I said, heat and light and warmth and energy, and it's so beautiful. So really, what I want to tell you about is Paul's ideas on the Spirit, and I'll share some stories, but just let me lay the foundation. When Paul talks about discipleship, and we're all disciples of Jesus, for Paul the Apostle, discipleship is life in the Holy Spirit. Read Romans chapter 8 if you want. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible. It's all about life in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit helps us, I was talking about, as we pray. Last night I was talking about how when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you can overcome the flesh. The Spirit is the principle of discipleship. And, you know, there's life in the Holy Spirit that helped Paul. You know, Paul was always talking about it. And as I think about the life of Paul, get this, I am so struck by his passion, and how he allowed the Spirit of God to take control of his life and move him. His life was beautiful. Think about, for example, his missionary journeys. Scholars say he went on 3 or possibly 4 missionary journeys, all that he accomplished. Think about the sufferings, the shipwrecks, and there were many. He was almost stoned to death one time. He was snake bit on an island. He had persecutions. He had rejections, and eventually he was martyred. But it was the Spirit in him driving him and moving him forward. And I'm struck by his passion. He was a man full of enthusiasm. And it was hard to be a missionary back then. You know, they didn't always have a place for you at the rectory. You might have to sleep outside. You know, you were rejected. And as I said, he was stoned once, and they thought he was dead. And he got up and he walked out. I mean, it was hard, but his passion was incredible. Let me talk about passion real quickly. I want to talk about passion as being, first of all, you know, we all hear that word. I'm a passionist, by the way. Passion, of course, is the passion of Christ. It's the suffering of Christ. But the passion of Christ is also this. It was the fire that Jesus had and Paul. The enthusiasm, the energy, the motivation, if you will, the going forward, the determination. We've got all kinds of words here. Being daring and risking and resilience and never giving up. And I love that word, energy and enthusiasm. So what I'm saying is that living in you, there is this power to live well. There's energy and enthusiasm. And that's what passion is. And I want you to try to key into that. I love Paul's phrase. He said, the love of Christ, now get this, the love of Christ impels me. And I looked that word up in the Greek, the word impel, and basically it means to be propelled. We're familiar with a propeller, to be driven, to be pushed forward. So in other words, what I'm saying is, let's try to make it practical. In your marriages, if you're young, going to school, you know, whatever your life is as a priest, you don't have to live it in your own power, your own energy. There's something in you that can propel you and keep you determined and keep you moving forward. And that's the power of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's that fire. But it's your responsibility to stir that up. You can't let it die. Otherwise, you're going to die. Now, speak about a propeller. Think about this. Think about this big, huge cruise ship. And they're moved. The big, huge vessel is moved by these little propellers in the back. I guess on a cruise ship, though, they're pretty big. But comparatively, the propellers are small for the ship. And it moves this big ship. And that's what we're talking about here. We've got within us, not a small propeller, we've got the Spirit of God. And you've got to get in touch with that. I would never be a priest. I would never want to preach. I certainly wouldn't write any books. I wouldn't be any kind of creative were it not for this propeller that I have. And you've got it too, moving on. Speaking of a cruise ship, I heard this story one time, 81-year-old man, and you know, he's on the last cruise of his life, so he thinks, and he's standing up there enjoying the sunshine, and you know, they're out sailing, and he looks over by the railing. There's this beautiful 22-year-old blonde in a bikini, and all of a sudden, a wave hits the ship, and the ship lists. The woman gets knocked overboard. Everybody goes running over to the rail to see what happened to her. You know, what happened? All of a sudden, next thing you know, this 81-year-old man is in the water, and he swims over, grabs the girl, brings her over to the ladder. They all go, by now, you know, everybody's watching this. They all go up the ladder and everything, and, you know, the water was really cold, and they get up on deck, and they throw blankets over him, and everybody's amazed, and they were clapping for the guy that, you know, he saved this woman. And they brought him up to the microphone, and they go, speech, you know, why did you do it? You went in there, and you saved that woman, and you brought her up. You're 81 years old. Speech, tell us why you did it. He gets up to the microphone, and he goes, all right, who pushed me? And what I'd like to say is that the Spirit is the one who pushes us, or if you will, the sacred shove that keeps us going forward. So let me talk a little bit more about passion, then I'll get into some stories. Passion is direction. You know, propellers propel you a certain way. And I like to tell people that, you know what, the Pentecost vision was this. Your young people will dream dreams, and your old people will see visions. And I want to tell you that you're never too young to have a dream, and you're never too old to have a vision. And what you got to do is let the Spirit guide you, lead you, direct you. I wrote down some words. We're talking about what passion is. Besides energy and enthusiasm, it's dreams. It's visions, it's accomplishing, it's achieving, it's creativity, goals, reaching, realizing your potential, becoming the best you can be. Because, well, let's go back to the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to want to do anything, you're lazy, who cares? But if you're in the Spirit, you want to become, you are motivated, you are propelled, you want to become the best person that you can possibly be. I'm talking about in holiness and achieving in your life. And I have a saying I told you, I think, once or twice already during the course of this retreat. Who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. Who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. And I don't know about you, I want to become. And I am becoming. And it's a journey, and it's about growing. And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit propels you. Okay, well, let's get into a few stories. That's kind of the foundation. We're talking about passion. We're talking about fire. You have the Spirit. The Spirit has come to give us energy, power, propel us, move us on, to live with enthusiasm, our call, our vocation, and to be the best that we can be. I heard about a movie that came out this year. It's called The Bucket List. And I don't know, maybe a few of you saw it. It was co-stars Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. I didn't actually see the movie, but I saw the trailer online on the internet. Interesting movie line or storyline. It's about two men that didn't even know each other. And what happened was they both developed cancer, and they both meet in the hospital, the cancer ward, and they're both told that they have less than a year to live. So the both of them talk, you know, they've got a death sentence, and they both start talking, and they decide to develop what they call a list of things that they want to do before they kick the bucket. Thus the term the bucket list. And on their list, they had some interesting things. You know, things that you would probably imagine that people would want to do if they're going to die. For example, go parachuting, and that's what they did. They drove a race car. They went on a safari, you know, those type things. Things that you never do, but you got to do before you die, okay? But they had some interesting things in that bucket list, and things you wouldn't necessarily think. One of them was that they wanted to laugh until they cried, and that happened in the movie. Then one of them was they wanted to kiss the most beautiful girl on earth. And then another one was that they would help a complete stranger for the common good. What's interesting, in Spanish, the name of the movie, well, the name of the movie is called The Bucket List, but in Spanish, the name of the movie is called Now or Never. And I think that's a word for all of us. I mean, when it comes to doing things in life, it's now or never. Don't put it off. And I was thinking, you know, I haven't seen the movie yet, but what would be on my bucket list if I knew that I had less than a year to live? What would be number one on your bucket list if you knew that? Would you parachute? Would you be a race car driver? Would you eat things that you don't normally eat? What would you do? Well, think about that for a minute. Let me go on. I'll tell you what my bucket list would be. The number one thing on my bucket list, I'll tell you in just a little bit. But I wanted to tell you first of all about one of the craziest things I ever did, and it wasn't parachuting, and it wasn't driving a race car. When I was in the seminary, just to let you know, between the third and the fourth year, you know, it takes 4 years and then you graduate and you get ordained. Between your third and fourth year, they had the curriculum was supposed to have us studying Spanish. And, you know, I studied Spanish in high school, and I studied it after my first year in the seminary. And I knew that I was going to be a missionary. That was my call. And I knew that I was going to be traveling around preaching. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm going to be preaching in English. I really don't need to know a whole lot of Spanish. So what I did is I found out about this program at Northwestern University. You see, I studied in Chicago. And I knew at Northwestern University, they have probably the best drama school in the country. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be up there, and I'm kind of shy and introverted and everything. I need to take some speech. I need to take some acting. I need some of that, you know, charm, that culture that they have. So I convinced my formation director to allow me to go to Northwestern University and study acting. I don't want you to think everything I'm doing is acting, but it's not. But so I went there, and get this, I'm a seminarian in there with all these people that are studying acting. You know what those acting types are like. You know, they're different, let me just put it that way. And they're kind of like musicians. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's just say that the fine art people are just a little different. So I was in there, and here's what I studied. I studied acting. I study training the actor's voice about pronunciation. Some of you have said that you really like my voice. Thank you. But I've worked on that. I've really tried to enunciate and you know, those type things. The other class that I took was called storytelling. You know, the key to preaching is storytelling. It really is. You've all heard it before. I'm just trying to inspire you by my life and by my stories. So those are three things I took: acting, training the actor's voice, storytelling, and here's the fourth thing that I took, and I can't believe I even did it. You know, there's many things that you can choose. It was a course called dance. Don't laugh at me. And the reason why I took a dance course, and it wasn't dance like the jitterbug or the waltz or the foxtrot or anything like that. It was called impromptu dance. It was a course where you actually just get out there on the floor in front of people and you make up your own dance. It's called impromptu. It was a whole course. You get credits for it. And I did it. And the reason why I did it, and get this, it was me and 20 women. Talk about lucky old me going to the seminary, right? Well, now we're talking about passion, right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so I took this course, and the reason why I took it is this, because all my life, I've been so self-conscious. And really, when it came to dance especially, now, I'm athletic, I love golf, baseball, tennis, you know, all the sports. I love it, I'm good, pretty good at it. But for some reason, dance, nobody ever taught me how to dance. Whenever we go to a dance, I would be like a wallflower. I'd sit there, and all my friends would be out dancing, and everybody would be out there. I'd be afraid to ask any girls, because I didn't want them to see, you know, two left feet, you know, and just, I felt like everybody, if I were to get up, I felt like everybody in the room was like, let's watch this, you know, and I was a wallflower. So I never really danced. I was just afraid to. I was self-conscious. It was hard for me. So I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, and I knew that eventually down the line I'd be standing up in front of people, I better get some movement ability. I better feel more comfortable in front of people. So I knew instinctively I needed to do something. So I took that course on dance. And it was so weird. It was so hard for me to get up there with all those women. And they would judge you on your movement, your ability to lead, and your ability to dance with others. Because we would be in the room, sometime we'd all dance together, you know, and somebody would take the lead, and I'd be going, should I take the lead, should I take the lead? And I wouldn't. I'd be afraid. My heart's beating real fast because I was afraid everybody. I was so self-conscious. Well, anyway, let me tell you this. I did it. I danced. Felt weird, felt strange, I felt self-conscious, but I threw myself into it, and I did it. Because I'll tell you what, I was not made to be a wallflower. I was not made to be a spectator, and neither were you. We're made to be participators. We're made to be in the dance. We're made to risk, to dare, to try. As Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a catch. See, that's passion. You don't just sit there. You get involved. You live your life.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.